matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
And a very good morning to you all from the weather to the weather, because while its conditions here have served up a fairly standard January menu so far. Sub-zero temperatures, rain, wind, all that sort of stuff. And though we did, of course, have one significant storm affecting our neighbours in Galway, other parts of the world have experienced some incredibly extreme conditions. They've ranged from a bomb cyclone of snow in the northeast of the US to raging heat in Australia, with Sydney having its hottest day in the best part of 80 years just last week. Some evidence say these events are more evidence of climate change. Professor John Sweeney is on the line. He's a Professor Emeritus of the Department of Geography at Maynooth University. Professor Sweeney, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us this morning. You're obviously of the view that, and it's not even just a view, but much more than that, but in terms of climate change being real, and is this evidence of that?
Well, it's difficult to attribute an individual event to climate change, but the evidence is increasingly mounting that anthropogenic or human-induced climate change makes a contribution to some of those events, making them more severe. And certainly in terms of heat waves, we know that the contribution to making the highest temperature much, much higher is quite clearly coming from warming up of the atmosphere that we're doing. Now, we've seen a whole host of extreme events, as you say, this year. Australia had its third hottest year ever in 2017, for example. And we've seen the tragic events in California, the wildfires followed by the mud flows. And even in Ireland here, we've seen what we used to think of as once-in-a-century events. I mean, we've seen the disastrous flooding in Mount Mellick. We've seen the more recent flooding in Galway. And going back further, of course, the August floods in Donegal. And, you know, we think of those as events that we'll never see again. But the evidence is kind of mounting that these are the kind of events that we would expect to see occurring more frequently in a warmed climate, because especially in the case of Ireland, as we warm up the ocean offshore, and we've warmed it up by about a degree or so now, then there's more energy going to go into the atmosphere, and that has to come out somewhere. And extreme events are usually the kind of harbingers of more general climate change down the road.
So is it true then that Ireland, because of our geographical position, because of our Atlantic coast, are we particularly vulnerable then to climate change? And if that's the case, are Atlantic coastal counties such as Clare even more vulnerable?
Well, I think it's true to say that Clare in particular, especially with a low-lying part of Clare facing the ocean, is more vulnerable than most to storm events coming off the Atlantic. That the models that are being run at the moment suggest that while we may not have more storms, the ones we will get will be bigger and more damaging. And for counties like Clare, of course, that is of some concern, because you're going to get the higher storm surges coming up from the west. You're going to get higher wind speeds coming up from the west during those extreme storms. And we know that in the past, when the westerlies blow during winter almost continuously, parts of Clare, you know, like Gort, for example, are extremely vulnerable to rainfall, which backs up the groundwater and causes all sorts of flood problems around there. So Clare suffers from, I suppose, two vulnerabilities. One is simply its vulnerability to ocean storm surges from the west. And, of course, the high cliffs of parts of Clare are a testament to where the sort of, if you like, the irresistible force meets the immovable object, in a sense. But also, of course, rainfall. That part of Ireland where the central plain almost meets the west coast, then that's where the westerlies can get in during wet winters, and you suffer quite a lot. There was one year, for for example, I recall way back in the 80s when I think Gort had only 2 days without rain during the entire winter. And that's a sign of where the westerly winds are really dominant in coming off the ocean then.
And of course, if you go back about 3 winters, I think it is now at this stage, you'd storm after storm after storm causing issues on the coast as well. So people are very familiar with it. We have seen coastal protection works carried out in different parts here, but many say a lot more needs to be done. Would you agree?
Yes, indeed. I mean, you had during winter 2013-14 the stormiest winter on record for, since we started taking records in 143 years or so ago. So we also then had one of the wettest winters on record in 2014-15. We had a relatively dry sort of winter last year. In parts of Eastern Ireland, it was the driest winter in 25 years. But we're beginning to see that, you know, those kind of extremes are becoming more common. And in terms of the coast, of course, it's a complex environment. The coast, especially of County Clare, is rather like a balloon. You know, if you push it in one place, it'll expand somewhere else. And it has to be managed very sensitively because, you know, once you start protecting one area of coastline, you transfer the energy down towards other parts of the coastline. So it really requires a very specialised, a holistic approach whereby you're not sort of playing off one part of the coast against another. And that's something which I think is going to be very important for County Clare in the years ahead.
Is that a veiled reference to Dunbeg and to Mr. Trump?
I think it's fair to say that expert opinion on Dunbeg was very concerned that the impact of what was being proposed there would be damaging to the existing defences. And the best defence against coastal erosion has been stated by the US Corps of Engineers as being a beach. There's nothing better. And whether it's a beach or whether it's sand dunes, once you start tinkering with those, then there's consequences for other areas. And that would be, I suppose, the concern of many people who are a bit worried that, you know, by protecting one area, you will certainly have damage elsewhere. So I think it's something that, you know, you have to take very good expert opinion on before you take those kind of drastic steps.
I know you're part of Antashka, and Antashka have expressed concerns, and I didn't intend this to become a discussion about Dunbeg, I assure you, but in that event, and even if you want to talk about this in general terms, John, that's absolutely fine, but in that event, if you protect place X, if you protect the length of a golf course, for example, is it possible to simulate where the problems then will transfer to, as you see it? Because ultimately, there will be parts of any coastline that you'll protect. You'll protect coastal communities over farmland, for example. You know, there will have to be some sort of... you can't protect all of the coast, so there will have to be some element of picking and choosing, I would have thought.
Yes, it's true. In general, we're facing into a sea level rise of up to a metre by the end of this century. And that means that the zone of attack during high water, during spring tides, will certainly move up the coast and certainly attack areas that weren't being attacked before. And we can model what the impact of the wave energy release is going to be if we sort of nullify it in one area, where it will be diverted to in another area. And that does indicate that, you know, that the energy has to be dissipated somewhere. And if that energy is increasing, and we know that we've seen some extremely high waves, if you like, during storms offshore in Ireland in the past couple of years, we know that if that wave energy is going to be translated somewhere else, then there will be other places that will suffer increased erosion in general.
Is it possible to predict where those places will be?
It is by taking expert advice on wave modelling and on wave packet and wave energy packet transfers. There are models which can tell you how it moves and where it moves to. But in general protection, just to talk in general terms, you know, we haven't tackled climate change in Ireland. We haven't made the effort to reduce our emissions sufficiently to comply with our international obligations. So we're facing into an issue where we now have to spend a lot of money defending coastlines.
Would we not have had to do that anyway, because other countries are polluting as well. Even if we were to make all of the green changes in Ireland, the damage would still be done.
That's true. It doesn't absolve us from actually making our contribution to attacking the problem in any way. It's rather like saying, you know, if I throw my bit of litter on the road just because other people are doing it, you know, I shouldn't do it. We are obliged to do it. But in terms of protecting the coast, we really have to look at the cost benefit of doing that, and there is no beneficial, I suppose, economic advantage in defending value of land which is less than the cost of protecting it. And so we have to make hard choices in the future to face climate change. We can't economically defend, for example, agricultural land. I don't think we can economically justify defending large-scale golf courses across Ireland either. We will be forced to defend towns and cities where very high-value land exists, and I think that would be the most sensible way of spending our very limited funds, is to protect people and places where there is a cluster and a concentration of high value land, but not to dissipate it on low level land.
Well, what you say makes sense. That's all well and good until you're the house beside that low value farmland, which will also get swept away, or your livelihood depends on that golf course by the coast.
Indeed. That's true, and that's something that has to be borne in mind in terms of how you spend that pot of money, whether you make a just transition for those people who are seriously affected on an individual basis. I think that's something that should be done as well, but it doesn't absolve us from the fact that we can't defend everywhere against the ravages of sea level rise in Ireland in the years ahead.
We, again, after the floods in Galway, heard from Kevin Boxer more in talking of how €1 billion was needed. There's been over €300 million spent in the last few years. I wonder, when I listen to the likes of yourself, whether even that billion would be enough.
Well, I think it's a conservative estimate. A lot of what we are spending on flood protection, for example, is based on a cost-benefit analysis of how much damage is likely versus how much will the flood protection measures cost to do. And when you look at the kind of scale of increased extremes that we may be facing into, we're not looking at maybe a once-in-a-century storm anymore. We're maybe looking at the once-in-a-century storm occurring once every 30, 40 years. And so that alters the balance, I think, of the cost-benefit equation very considerably. So I think we will be facing into leaving those who come after us with a very large bill to pay for climate change damage. And again, you know, to add to that, we will have also bills probably for not meeting our obligations in playing our part in tackling it. So we're really, I think, sitting on our hands too much at the moment here and leaving the next generation to pick up the tabs for our inaction.
Finishing with the weather where we started, is it going to get even worse? In general terms, again, are we going to see more of these extreme events, or
there is going
more
to be more
extreme
of these extreme events? I mean, that's the one thing that we are sure about in terms of climate change. When you start shifting the mean conditions, then the tails of that distribution, the extreme events, become increased much more substantially. So, yes, we will face into, we're already seeing more intense rainfall events, for example, in Ireland, in the west of Ireland, especially in winter. We do have to face the fact that that's going to be something that continues, and we also have to face the fact that where we have high intensity storms in the future, they may well be enhanced and may well be more severe, especially on the west coast in winter. So this is where we're going, unfortunately. We will have slightly drier summers on the positive side, hopefully, in County Clare especially. It will be warmer. The growing season will be slightly longer. But those are relatively small compensations, I think, for what will be a more unfavourable climate for Ireland in general in the years ahead.
Okay, Professor John Sweeney of Maynooth University, appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome, John.
All the very best. Take care. Professor John Sweeney there, as I say, your thoughts more than welcome. I think we have gone past the debate as to whether or not climate change exists. We've seen too much of it, too much of that incredibly powerful weather here in Clare, and you know, the flooding in Galway was quite significant. Very easily that could have been significant flooding here, as I remember Tom Tiernan telling us on this programme just last week, I think it was, at this particular stage. Anyway, as I say, your comments are more than welcome. As Professor Sweeney says, the growing season could increase. That's good news for farmers. We'll be talking about agriculture in just a couple of minutes' time.
Morning Focus, in association with Shannon Airport. Fly Shannon and pack more into your holiday. Barcelona, Rios and Toronto coming soon. Explore more on shannonairport.ie.